You're listening to the cycling podcast Femina, in association with Rafa, the fastest clothing in the world tour, the home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Rafa in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Canyon SRAM.
Listening to the cycling podcast Femina, brought to you by Skoda, dedicated to closing the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time.
Today we are in Burton Dassett.
Hello, my name is Richard Moore. I'm with Rose Manley.
Hi, Richard.
And Daniel Freib.
Hello, can you explain that, please?
Well, we're in Daniel Freib country, aren't we?
I'm not Daniel Freib, though you may
you're not.
Notice.
You're not, you're Orla Shinoui.
I am.
We've got to pick you up here, Orla, because
you're saying I'm Daniel Freib because I'm a bit down.
No,
is
there's
that
no
it?
Connection there. No, we're in Daniel Freib country, and Daniel Freib will feature in the episode.
He will.
Not in
but,
person.
You've had a bit of an equipment malfunction today.
A bit of an equipment mare. Got some really good interviews, and I was really excited because we'd managed to tell a wonderful story of the stage through our interviews from both before and after the race. And sometimes it just works out beautifully where you've interviewed someone who becomes then crucial to the action or crucial to the race by the end of the day, and you think, boom, I got that nailed. And that's what I thought until we just put our little card into each of our readers, and not one of them could read any of the data. So all my interviews from the day are gone.
Lionel Burney is very familiar with this scenario. So, if it's any consolation, even the greats of podcasting
you've done
have
a
this
line
problem.
Basically.
Even you and the greats, Orla. Yeah, that's a real boost.
Where are we,
Richard?
Orla?
We're in the Red Lion Pub in Warwickshire near Burton Dassett Country Park.
We've been in here pretty much all day.
All day.
We? We have. We
basically
have.
Sipping
moved,
Diet Coke, I should say.
Yeah, we have moved about 3 metres, though. Mm. So, well, no, we went up to the top and then
It's a day that promised little when we arrived at the top of the hill, and it was very rainy and there was a tent for the media, so we came back down the hill and came to the pub. But it was actually a cracking stage, wasn't it?
It was amazing. There was a tent up top and a lot of tension, I felt. There was a bit of grumpiness I sensed amongst the team. We were all a bit fed up, I think, because there were like two freestanding portaloos up there. There was one three-peaked tent for the media, and that was it. And we thought, saw this for a game of soldiers. Down the pub.
Corinne from who does the Women's World Tour video said, never before would I think that one of my concerns while on my job would be that I might step in a cow pat in the media room, in the actual press room. And that is what happened today.
But it was a cracking stage. Absolutely loved it. We were able to follow it from here, as we usually do on social media. But then, because there were three laps of the country park to finish with, we got to see what felt like an awful lot, not just of the race, but of the action. Because every time it came past, things were different and we had different riders out front or the gaps had changed or whatever. And it felt like a really exciting race, not least because it was so fast and you could really see the pain on the riders' faces as they were going past, which I kind of love. Sadistically.
I also was able to recce the circuit. I rode the circuit. Did I hold on to the King of the Mountains there?
Our Queen of the Mountains.
For the climb, or was that beaten?
I haven't checked.
Anyway. We must check that.
We'll check that later. But Orla, lots of literary ghosts in this area.
Here to
including
haunt.
Daniel Freib, the ghost of Daniel Freib. But no, lots of literary ghosts. You did Shakespeare when we were in this area last year, but I think you're giving us a different literary figure this year.
Yes, I was going to do Shakespeare again, but when we went through all the titles and references, I feel like I managed to get a lot of them in last year, so we thought we'd go for something a little bit different. So instead, we've gone for a bit of a twist. We've gone for guess the reference today. Is it Philip Larkin or is it Daniel Freib?
Two literary giants.
Of Coventry.
Aren't they?
Of Coventry, yes.
Because Larkin is, well, very associated with Hull, where he lived, but he was born in Coventry, I think.
Born in Coventry and lived around here briefly.
Lived in Warwick.
You're not a fan, Rose, we were saying.
No, well, yeah, but then when you started saying the quotes, I thought, yeah, maybe. I think it's just one of those things. If you study someone at school, then it kind of... I remember just the Arundel tomb having to do that. I doubt that is going to be in the Storyen stage.
It's not, actually. It's not.
So, but to explain to listeners, some of your references will be Philip Larkin, some will be Daniel Freed. Very difficult to tell apart.
Well, I don't know. We'll see, won't we?
They both have the same sensibility. But... But
in
if you'd like to crack on with the story of the
stage. Shall I talk about, should we give yesterday's winner first, or should we leave that for later?
Leave that for later, because we've got a competition winner to announce.
Well, I think it's fair to say that we've been a little bit disappointed with the first half of the race in terms of a lack of attacks, at least. We've been looking forward to today, really, but then always eager for the future, we pick up bad habits of expectancy. Something is always approaching, isn't it? Every day till then, we say, well, today is then. The first summit finish in the women's tour history. We're sitting in a pub at the foot of the climb, as you said, Richard. Burton Dassett climbs from the Red Lion pub like aroma from a kitchen, its wisp of road rising slowly and serenely towards the summit 1 kilometre away. The race did a circuit of Burton Dassett Country Park, 3 laps to finish the longest stage of this year's race. And Sarah Roy made the first move with a whole 128 kilometres to go. She started the day 5th overall, just 6 seconds down. So a bit of a surprise, really, that she got to go and build up such of a lead in the end. She was joined by Femke Marcus of Park Hotel Valkenburg and Charlotte Becker of FDJ. And between them, they took both intermediate sprints and built up a lead of 8 minutes 20 seconds at one stage. Trek and WNT finally did start to lead the chase with about 75 kilometres to go. And by the time we got to Burton Dassett for the first time, it was quite difficult to see through the sheet rain. But, you know, a brutal day like this on the road, like death, is no different wind at than withstood, is it? It's who can withstand it best that really matters. Through the gloom, a blink of light suspended between the twin strobes of a car's headlights. Sarah Roy leading Femke Marcus, with Becker then dropped. Alisa Longoborghini, Cassia Nieuwiedema and Leanne Lippert of Sunweb not far behind then. Roy and Marcus were then caught. Roy out front all day long until then, but being brave lets no one off the grave. By the time they came up the climb the second time, it was Nieuwiedema, Lippert and Longoborghini in front. They were then caught by the chasing group on the next lap, which included Lisa Brennauer, who had been the race leader at the start of the day, and Lizzie Deignan. So we had a charge of about 25 for the line. So we were standing just by the finish line by that stage with a pouring rain, everyone taking shelter where they could. And then out of the gloom, two eyes blaze, two shoulders sway, two lips purse, two thighs thump, pound and pummel. Cassia Nieuwiedema took the win over Leanne Lippert and Lizzie Deignan in third. Bicycle racing is a strange game, though, isn't it? Such are the vagaries that even the strongest cyclist will lose far more often than he or she wins. Nieuwiedema, one of the very strongest, and this was her second win of the year, a former winner of the whole race, of course. You'll both remember when she won this race, she did so with a long, daring solo attack, but I reckon originality is being different from oneself, not others. And she has proven her originality, proven she can win in all sorts of ways. So she took the stage win. The leader's jersey passes from Lisa Brennauer to Leanne Lippert. Christine Mazures keeps the Queen of the Mountains jersey. Yoli Andora keeps the points jersey. Corin Rivera retains the sprints. Lizzie Deignan still the best British rider. And Sarah Roy wins the combativity prize. Team Sunweb are now the best team. So we were afraid today that we'd have to wait for the finale for our first bit of action. But plenty of action right from the start, proving that something like nothing happens anywhere.
The fastest clothing in the world tour. The home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Ratha in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Canyon SRAM.
Bib shorts are the most essential part of your cycling kit. Hi, my name is Alexis Ryan and I race for Canyon SRAM. It's where you get the most friction, it's where you possibly get the most discomfort, and to have a pair of shorts that are comfortable and reliable, they wear well and they're made out of high quality materials. That's really important for us as professionals. My Rafa bib shorts are the best in the world.
Thank you very much indeed to Rafa, our headline sponsor. Now, we will be presenting Pédaleuse de Charme at the Women's Tour, so please send us your nominations for Pédaleuse de Charme for the week. I'm expecting couple of t-shirts to be at our hotel tomorrow night. So we'll be presenting them on the final day. Orl, I have to say, that was magnificent.
Oh, thank you.
Your best so far.
Do you think?
The way you weaved Free Ball, there's a Free Larkin mashup there, which I thought, there's our entry for the British Podcast Awards
straight,
next year.
Straight away. I mean,
Freebkin.
I just couldn't believe how difficult it was to tell them apart. I have no idea.
Well, yeah, I mean, some actually, even reading them, I thought, could that be Larkin? It could be. And even though I knew it was a Freeb quote, I'll be very excited to read the entries to this. If anyone gets this right, I don't know, what can we do for them? Because
well,
that would be
we're
very
gonna,
impressive.
I'm gonna ask Science and Sport, our other sponsor, for a bundle of sports nutrition products. So, yeah, Science and Sport bundle will be winging its way to you. If you can identify all the references and who said what.
You don't need to say what they're from, what work they're from. If you can just correctly identify the quotes, then
the
that will be...
the Freeb canon.
I'll be very impressed. Well, I enjoyed that performance.
That
though.
Was really good. Orla, I mean, I'm looking forward to the next 2 days already, if
I
only for...
Sorry.
If only
downhill
for that.
From here.
No, excellent. Well done. Well, I think the stage deserved that, actually, because it was a good stage, and we were able to watch quite a bit of it, and... big break, 8 minutes they had at one point. It was very surprising to see that, and quite a big chase obviously happening behind to bring them back. And the first time up the climb, we were standing at the top of the climb, and it was my tip, Elisa Longo Borghini, who seemed to be driving it forward at that point, followed by Kasia Nviadoma.
My tip.
And the big surprise, Leanne Lippert. And Ellen van Dijk was there or thereabouts. Lisa Brenner sort of chasing to try and defend her jersey. But clearly Nviadoma and Lippert were the two strongest today, and they fought out the finish.
What I was really impressed by actually was Lisa Brenner, because chatting to her afterwards, we saw the bodies just strewn everywhere after the finish line. Riders were falling off their bikes in exhaustion. So much was given on the stage today, and Lisa Brenner was one of them. So I stood by her for a good 5 minutes, allowing her to recover. And by the time
shall we hear
was,
from her now?
Well, we would hear from her now. Thank you very much. Except, of course, my recording didn't work. But she was saying how today is just not a stage that would suit her, and she was sort of downplaying her performance, saying, "You know, I'm quite proud of how we did." And then when I pointed out to her just how incredible her performance was, the fact that she was right up there on every lap of that climb, and just sort of then give a rueful smile and said, "Yeah, actually, I'm quite delighted with how we did that, and we gave everything." And she wasn't quite sure yet if they had lost the jersey, although she was pretty certain that they had. But she was really happy with their performance, I think, really happy that they'd given it absolutely everything, that the team had given it everything, and that they'd done the jersey justice. But it was that exhaustion across the finish line that really struck me. We don't often have the privilege of getting to see that, really. And because we don't have summit finishes very often in the Women's World Tour, it was quite remarkable, I thought.
Well, a success, wasn't it, as a first summit finish in the race, I think?
Yeah, it was great. And what I was thinking, because I know that before I've always said, oh, Kasia Nviadoma, you know, she doesn't actually win that much, but obviously she's done very well this year, winning Amstel Gold, now winning here. And I was just suddenly, this might be one of those comments where I say it and then I suddenly realise I'm completely wrong. But I'm wondering if there's not enough of those kind of summit finishes. Because it was kind of odd being up, you know, when you're up there and there's nothing around you and, you know, you have to do difficult logistics moving your car. And I'm used to doing that at men's races, but not very often used to doing that at women's races. So I'm wondering if Kasia perhaps doesn't win as much as she could because she doesn't actually have that kind as many opportunities with that kind of race.
She needs a tough climb, doesn't she?
Yeah, I think the tougher the better is kind of how she functions. But it was a great victory from her. But I thought Leanne Lippert, if that finish line was just slightly further, Leanne Lippert would have caught her, I think, because she was really coming up like a, you know, like a steam engine.
She went so deep. I mean, Richard, you spoke to her afterwards, and just watching her trying to recover was quite a sight.
Well, let's hear from her, because she collapsed onto the very wet ground, cow dung and sheep excrement all around. It was
lovely.
Mucky up there. Yeah. It was mucky up there.
But it wasn't
the new
glamorous.
It wasn't glamorous. She threw herself to the ground, and she was really in quite a bad way. And wasn't able to speak for a while. Leah Kurtzman told me to give her some space, which I did. And then Con Rivera appeared. And Rivera obviously won this race last year. And Rivera kept saying, "I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you." Lippert is just 21 years old. She's a German champion. She's never really put in a performance like this in this sort of company. So a real breakthrough ride for her today. We will hear a little bit at the start of this interview. You might just hear Con Rivera saying that to her, and then you'll hear me speaking to her. She was pretty overwhelmed by it all. The second part of the interview is actually once she'd realised that she was in the leader's jersey, and she'd ridden all the way back down the hill to the bus, had to ride all the way back up again when she realised she was she'd won the stage. So here she is, just beyond the line, and then just behind the podium, waiting to get the leader's jersey. Yeah, and that was an incredible ride you managed there. What, you know, you went with two of the best climbers in the world up this climb.
Yeah, I can't believe it, actually. It's, yeah, just unbelievable. I can't believe it.
Where's this form come from?
From hard training and, yeah, confidence in my team. And my team is, like, was riding super strong for me. And also the trust they gave me. I'm still so young and I'm the leader in this kind of races. And, yeah.
Well, we saw the kind of effort that you obviously had to make. You've dug very deep there.
Yeah, for sure. It was extremely hard. It's brutal, that final.
And you went to Corin as soon as she came across the line. Was she the intended leader for the team today?
No, the team went for me today. She's still good in GC, I think, but you will see.
So another two tough stages. Are you confident about those?
Yeah, looking forward.
You were on your way back down the hill, were you, when you heard that you were in the leader's jersey?
I was already on the bus, actually, and then I needed to climb up the climb again, and everyone was cheering at me, so it was kind of funny.
I mean, you were, you know, you dug pretty deep the last time up the climb, so what was it like coming up again?
Yes, I went all out, and I, like, saw Cassie in front of me, and I was like, coming closer, but yeah, for sure, she was super strong, but I'm happy with my second place.
And in the jersey now, I mean, what are your thoughts about being in the jersey with two tough stages to go?
Yeah, I actually need to realize at first what just happened. And yeah, I'm in that Lisa jersey now, and it's my first World Tour podium ever. So yeah, but I have a really strong team. They did it last year. They did super strong last year to protect Corinne. And now I'm in that jersey, but yeah, we will see. I try my best.
You got a chance of winning this race overall.
I hope I will try my best. I have a strong team, and yeah, I'm confident.
And I spoke to the winner, Kasia Niewiadoma, and actually it's nice to see. We get very used to cyclists saying, I'll take things day by day, I'll see how my legs feel tomorrow. But Kasia was actually on a real high and was already staking a claim for tomorrow's stage and for the green jersey.
Kasia, congratulations. How does it feel?
I feel like I just need a time to understand what did that happen. I mean, it was wonderful, wonderful final, because my team did what we planned, put everything into practice, and for the first time since a long time, we were there, we execute our plan, and yeah, I'm so happy because we achieved it together, so that was perfect.
And your win was very different from the last time you won at the Women's Tour with a solo break, a huge margin.
Yeah.
How were your nerves coming into that final climb?
To be honest, because of this rain and bad weather conditions, I wasn't nervous, I wasn't stressed, I was just thinking about going deep. And I took little rest before this race, so I wasn't sure how my legs gonna respond me, but yeah, I felt good.
And does that make you feel happier for the next couple of stages to go as well?
I do believe that tomorrow's gonna be insanely hard. I know that legs are there, so I will just try to repeat my success from today, and yeah, that maybe would put me into green jersey.
And do you feel like this year you're having a bit of a winning breakthrough? We know you can win, we know that you're always up there, but to have a couple of big wins must give you a huge confidence boost.
Definitely. Now I feel like I know when exactly I should attack. It's not that I attack a million times, but I became more patient, I think, and just like aware of what my goals are.
So that was Kasia Niewiadoma, the winner, and it's worth noting that she's on the same time as Leanne Lippert on GC, so they're very, very close. At Lippert, arguably has a stronger team, perhaps. I don't know. Kanya Schramm, pretty strong as well. And both of them have got more or less a full team. Cecchini left, didn't she? But both have strong teams, and Sunweb have the experience of having defended the jersey last year, and it's going to be quite interesting. I don't know that that will be a factor, given that tomorrow especially is such a tough stage.
I think it will be interesting to see, because when I spoke to Leanne Lippert at the start of the stage today, it was very much about Corrin's chances in the overall, and I was asking her about the fact that they were all trying to soak up as many of the individual the intermediate sprint points as possible, and you know, she mentioned the fact that Corrin Rivera is obviously in the sprint jersey, but that was a target for the overall GC. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out on the road tomorrow. Where is Corrin at the end of today? I don't have it in front
of me. She's 40 seconds back. 40 seconds back. Which is quite a chunk at this stage, isn't it?
So interesting to see whether Lippert then becomes that defended rider. I guess it depends on how well she recovers from the efforts of today, really.
The gaps are opening up. I mean, Lizzie Deignan is still there. I thought, you know, she did a very good ride today. I think she's at the end of her tether. She's at the end of a big block of racing, and it almost feels like she's wanting to get this behind her and have a proper rest. She's going to miss the national championships, actually, which is quite a big deal. She needs a rest, she says, but she's riding very well. She's been riding incredibly consistently here, especially having been caught in both crashes on Wednesday. So
she's doing brilliantly, but she does keep saying, I think it was in stage one, she said, oh, that was just too long. Too much time for me to think. I'd much rather be sitting on the sofa. And again today, when we caught up with her behind the podium, we asked her how it was, and she just sort of rolled her eyes with a smile though and said, oh, it's just such a long time to be out there. I think she just wants to get the race finished.
Yeah, but she's there
amazingly.
She's 3 seconds down only, and she's been up there every day, and you know, she's the best place in what is a very strong team. And we saw Longoborghini show, she faded a bit today,
well, yeah,
Longoborghini.
I was going to say, actually, I mean, Lizzie's going to have to carry the torch for Trek-Segre, because Longoborghini is now 55 seconds back. And we thought one of us said Longoborghini was going to win the stage. But yeah, so she, after all of those efforts, she faded. And then that means 55 seconds back. I mean, Lizzie's the one that's got to do the work over the next couple of days.
Well, shall we hear from Lizzie Deignan now? You spoke to her, Rose.
Lizzie, the whole of Trek Segafredo was very active today. Tell us how the plan all worked out.
The plan was to keep me and Elisa up there in the final. Elisa followed Cassia on that first time up the steep climb. And showed obviously that she was the strongest, but we didn't know coming into the final whether it'd be more of a sprint, so they led me out, Ellen and Elisa, but actually it probably wasn't the best tactic, I think, because Elisa was stronger.
How would you might have been played differently in hindsight?
Hesitated longer, you know, we would have either launched Elisa in an attack so that Cassia had to counter and I could try and hang on in there for the sprint, or it was difficult to communicate today because it was very complicated, and you know, the radios are always that easy, and it's very hard to look at a stage on paper and make a plan, especially when your sensations in a race like today change so much. So I think as a team we rode really well. I mean, Anna and Abby were phenomenal all day. They kept the break at a reasonable time, and without them we wouldn't have been anywhere near holding on to the GC. So yeah, it was a good day overall, I think.
And are you happy with your third, a second podium in this race?
Yeah, I seem to be there or thereabouts all the time. So that's a good sign for me. Yeah, that I've got some work to do in training still when it comes to the finishes of races. So I'm pretty happy.
And which of the next few stages are you looking forward to most now?
The finish line of the last one, probably. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. You know, two tough days to go, but the same for everybody. And I think we've got a really strong position now with me and Elisa both up there on the GC.
Hi, I'm Sarah Story. I'm the Academy Principal of the Skoda DSI Cycling Academy. Well, here at the concourse, just above this amazing track here at the London Velodrome, we've got what bikes set up, we've got some turbo trainers set up, and we're about to do our testing day to select 5 applicants for the Skoda DSI Cycling Academy for 2019.
So I do a lot of rowing as my main sport, but I've always enjoyed cycling as cross-training for that and doing longer rides, so I thought I'd put my name down and see how it went and get invited. I'm Maddie, I live up in Chester, so I drove down last night to avoid the commute today. It was good fun, tough. I think I went off a bit light, so had to make up for it at the end, but it was I was at the right level of tired at the end, so happy with that. we have equivalent tests on rowing machines, but never on a watt bike, so it's all quite new for me. A lot of people cross over between rowing and cycling because it's a lot of leg based, but obviously in rowing you've got your arms to help you, whereas in cycling they're completely useless. So I think I'm getting better at knowing where my body needs to be at what point in the test. So I was able to gauge, I went off a bit light, and so I adjusted as I went through. Yeah, it's a plan, keep learning, get better, and see how it goes.
Thank you very much indeed to Skoda for their support of the Cycling Podcast Femina for a second year, for giving us a lovely car, which is quite dirty now, but we'll try and clean it. And
for your side.
Yeah, well, it's got a very dirty bike in the boot as well. But also, we heard a clip there from the Skoda Cycling Academy a few days ago now, which had involved 50 women being given an opportunity to test out. And I think five of them have been selected to ride with the Internationales at the Tour de France this year. So we'll hear clips from that all this week. Now, we had the competition, of course, to name all the Dusty Springfield song titles in yesterday's episode, and an amazing prize courtesy of Iceberg.
Yeah, the prize being to have VIP tickets for hospitality at the end of stage five, so tomorrow, and also to go on stage to present the Iceberg jersey, which I think is very exciting. And we did have a winner who got every single one of them right, and that was Fiona.
Fiona Prue. We had a few who correctly guessed, I think, all or most of the titles. We had a few, and a lot of you very quick off the mark, but Fiona was quickest, so congratulations, Fiona.
Shall I read out what they were in case anyone's...
Yeah.
I like to know at the end of a pub quiz what the correct answers were. I like to tie up the loose ends. So we had Breakfast in Bed, Give Me Time, I Don't Know What to Do with Myself, If You Go Away Early Enough, Stay a While, The Middle of Nowhere, Anyone Who Had a Heart, Wishing and Hoping, The Windmills of Your Mind, Little by Little, and All Cried Out. So well done if you got all of those.
And well done, Fiona, and apologies to the others who sent in emails guessing correctly, identifying them all. I want to give a special mention to Mike Waring, who is one of those people, and sorry, Mike, that you weren't as quick off the mark as Fiona, but he's emailed us again tonight. As you haven't been in touch lately to tell me how clever I am for naming all of Dusty Springfield's hits, I thought I would tell you about my day at the Women's Tour today instead. Now listen to this. Okay. On my way to Warwick this morning, I managed to reunite a chap with his iPhone and to aid a visually impaired lady who had been abandoned by her train company. So when I saw on Twitter a message from Sophie De Burr of the Park Hotel Valkenburg team saying that she had lost her GPS device yesterday in the crash that took out Marion Voss, I thought that sounded like a mission for me. On my way home, I took a diversion to Didcot and went in search of the crash zone. Needless to say, I didn't find Sophie's digital device. That's disappointing, Mike. But I did find a heap of discarded race numbers, some swab wrappers, and a sense of my own mortality as lorries sped past inches from my head while I was elbow deep in nettles and brambles. That'll teach me for thinking that things come in threes. I mean, Mike, you deserve a prize for that.
That is brilliant.
Absolutely fantastic. And I'm sorry that you weren't our winner, but while being very happy for Fiona.
You're a winner at life, Mike.
Winner at life.
You're a fabulous champion in my eyes.
A winner at life, definitely. Well, I think we should send Mike some kind of prize.
Yeah, we'll come up with one.
We'll think of something, Mike. And you phoned Fiona, our winner. Let's hear what she said.
Hello, Fiona.
Hi.
Fiona, hi. It's Orla from the Cycling Podcast here.
Hey, Orla.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm just ringing to say congratulations that you've won our prize for stage five.
Oh wow, how exciting.
Yay!
I never win anything.
You never win anything?
Not normally, no.
Oh well, this is a good one to win, isn't it? Are you okay with going on stage? Do you quite like a performance?
Well, no, not normally, but yeah, wow, what an opportunity to get on the Women's Tour stage,
hey? Yay! Well done, you got every single reference right last night, so congratulations. Yeah, you did. We usually go for whoever gets closest, but you got everyone right.
Oh, wow.
So will we see you on stage five then?
Oh, absolutely, I'd love to. Thank you so much.
Oh, excellent, I'm so happy.
Me too.
Okay, well, we'll be in touch, I think, about organising details and everything.
Okay, that'd be brilliant.
But we will see you tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
So that was a very delighted Fiona, but an even more delighted Orla by the sounds of things.
Well, I felt like I was one of those sort of breakfast radio show hosts, you know, you like when you're ringing up.
You like being the bearer of good news,
well,
don't you?
Who doesn't like being the bearer of good news? I felt like I was giving
Philip,
you know,
Larkin,
a gift to someone. Tanya Freeb.
Yeah.
Only because we're linking him in thematically here.
You're in your element.
No, I do. I do
call,
like giving good news.
Who doesn't?
I did realise by the end that I was sounding more excited about the whole affair than Fiona was, but that's because we get to meet her tomorrow. I think it's wonderful.
Well, and it's exciting that we get to give such an excellent prize.
Yeah, thanks Iceberg for that. That's very generous of them, and thank you for thinking of us for that. So today, I mean, a lot of we've been crying out for attacks and action and drama, and we got it today at the end, obviously, when these strong riders emerged. But Sarah Roy of Michelin Scott was one of the riders that featured in the big break. She's more of a sprinter, won a stage last year into Leamington Spa, didn't she? And
it was
she,
stage four, wasn't it? It was the very same stage last
year. It may
year.
Well have been. And she had a nasty fall. She was involved in that first crash yesterday, and it's got quite a nasty wound on her arm. So good effort by her today to get up the road, and spoke to her at the finish. That was a big day out you had. Was that a plan today, or was that just a position you found yourself in?
I don't think any rider plans on a 140-something breakaway, especially not on your own. But, I wasn't feeling that good out there today, so I thought I'd just do a bit of an attack to set up my teammates so they could have an opportunity and, just get things going a bit. There was a big lull in the peloton, and I just thought, why not? found myself in the position in the end, and it was perfect, actually, for my teammates and Grace Brown, who is a good little climber, and it was an awesome opportunity for her to follow the favourites and be set up well into the finish climb.
How were you after the crash yesterday? You've got arm bandaged there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sore, like most people, I'm sure. Nothing significant, just the usual bumps and bruises, so yeah, all good.
Well, that was Sarah Roy. A sleeper in the top 10 is Lizzie Banks, the Bigler rider, who they came with just four riders, of course. Now they're one of the biggest teams in the race.
They're down to three now.
Okay,
but
no.
Yeah, they're also down.
There are a lot
of
teams that are...
They're not looking quite so small.
Struggling
a team
for
as
bodies.
They have been.
Yeah. And those two CCC riders rattling around in that huge bus.
Yeah, I spoke to them this morning, and I spoke to their DS as well. Yeah, I mean, it's an odd situation, isn't it? And
the bus is going to go, surely.
Well, what are they going to travel around in then? They can't really do that, can they? It's like I was chatting to during our coverage of the Giro recently, and Bradley Wiggins was saying that whenever they start to pack up the bus around you, if you're the last one out on the time trial course, it's so demoralising. They can't take the bus off them.
So
now
they're going to just keep the bus for morale.
But they've got the bus. They've also got the camper van and Mariana Voss's dad.
Yeah, dad, mum, cat and brother
are all
continuing with the rest of the race because they've got their boat booked at the end of the
week. We'll hear from Henk Voss in the final
part
of the podcast.
But anyway, what Haroon was saying, the DS, he was saying that obviously now they get their opportunities to go for whatever they want. They've got an absolute freedom, and you have to frame it that way, don't you? You have to do something to turn it around. The riders themselves were saying, yeah, it's a bit lonely on the bus. They feel like they are rattling around a little bit, but they can do what they like now in the race, so it would be good if they could do something. They were aiming for a showing in a breakaway at some stage or going for a stage win, so they've got two more stages left to show themselves there.
Jeroen Blyleven's a very good rider in his day, but most famous, of course, for punching Bobby Dulich on the Champs-Élysées one year after the final stage of the Tour de France, if you may.
I hope you didn't have a similar run-in then.
Watch yourself. Yeah. I mentioned Lizzie Banks of Bigla, and Rose, you spoke to Lizzie Banks at the start and Leah Thomas at the finish, I believe.
Yeah, so I spoke to Lizzie Banks at the start because she's also from this area. Orla, you met some of her family.
Yeah, her family
friends.
Were at the finish line, yeah, and she was full of smiles. She was about the last rider off the climb because she was just chatting away to her family, and I said, wow, I can't believe you're still smiling after how brutal that stage was, and she was right up there all day. I said, well, why wouldn't I be having my family here? This is a brilliant stage, a brilliant day. Such positivity. I've got a total girl crush on her now. I love her.
Yeah, and Lizzie Banks has been doing so well recently. She's had 7 top tens this season. She came third in the GC in the LC Jacobs just the other week, so she's really in form. And alongside her is Leah Thomas, and they are very similarly matched in terms of their talents, Banks and Thomas. They're very good friends. And so they
come. And 9th and 10th on GC now.
They're 9th and 10th on GC. They finished 6th and 7th on this stage together. They, I think when we saw them go past, they were really attacking. And they really got into a great game of kind of playing off each other's talents. I mean, Leia Thomas, you might remember from last year's La Course, she made an amazing solo break. She was ahead for a very long time. She's a great time trialist, and yeah, it'd be really interesting. We thought that Bigler would come with four riders, now three, and not be able to do anything, and here we are. What an amazing result. So let's hear from Lizzie and Leia.
So Lizzie, first few climbs for this race today, are you relishing that opportunity?
Yeah, it's a really good kind of climb for us with Leia and I, and it's really nice to have both of us there, because yeah, when the race has been kind of at the pointy end so far, we've both been able to kind of be there, encounter, you know, we're a really small team, there's only three of us and we only started with four, so it's really hard for us to be aggressive, but we've always been there when we needed to be. And unfortunately we lost Julie Leth in the crash yesterday. She's pretty bashed up, but she is okay, so yeah, she was a pretty key rider for us, so it's going to be even harder today. But I think despite the fact that we're small, we're pretty strong, so yeah, we're just going to see what happens out there. It's the kind of racing that we really love. It's cold, it's long, it's wet, it's hard, so we'll see what happens today and tomorrow.
And do you and Leia have a plan between each other, or you're just going to talk about it on the road?
Yeah, we have a plan, but we also work really, really well together. We're really good friends as well off the bike, and I think that's really helpful, because you just know. You know what to do. And the way that we were racing the past 3 days, it was perfect. Like, she would go, I would go. We didn't even have to speak. I mean, my radio wasn't working, so we couldn't speak. but yeah, we didn't need to, and yeah, we knew exactly what to do, and like before we even discussed the plan, we knew exactly what we needed to do today. So yeah, we're excited. You know, there's kind of no pressure on us, nobody's looking at us, we're only three riders, so we've got the opportunity and we're going to try and take it today and tomorrow and the next day. So yeah, the racing tomorrow is really pretty similar to how the racing in Tour de Yorkshire was, which I really liked and went pretty well for us. So yeah, today is a bit more kind of punchy, short, you've got on the lap. But tomorrow I think is going to be a really savage day and a really, really good day for us, I hope.
Yeah, well, what a fantastic performance.
Thank you so
by
much.
By you and Lizzie.
Yeah, we had good fun.
Did it work out how you wanted to?
Yeah, we're always aiming for the top 10. I mean, it's always nice to land on the podium. But I think we played our cards really well today and gave it our best effort. And there's really strong riders here, so I think overall we're pretty happy.
And how did the race develop over the last few climbs?
It was hard, you know, like when that break was gone, they had over a 7 minute advantage and kind of putting around, and I personally enjoy it when the racing picks up, so it was nice to really have to focus and really try to put our best foot forward for today's end of the stage.
And Lizzie was telling me this morning about how well you two work together.
Yeah.
This is your talents are very similar, or did you get on off the bike?
We definitely get on off the bike. We were teammates last year on United Healthcare Pro Cycling, so we already have a year of racing together under our belt, so we're able to read each other pretty well and kind of play off each other with attacks and share the workload or decide who's doing the work, whatever we need to do, and it's just really easy to communicate with her and work with her, and it makes racing really fun.
We've got with me here
the Queen of the Mountains.
The Queen of the Mountains, Richard Moore. How was that, Richard?
Oh, good timing, Rose.
You got sweat dripping down you. You're obviously out of breath.
Well observed. Hey, fantastic. I got some cheers there up the climb, which was nice. A few encouraging little shouts. Didn't help much. I got told near the bottom by Marcel that you need to go quicker, chap. The peloton's approaching.
Well, that was Queen of the Mountain, Richard Moore.
Briefly, until the race came through. Then I think I lost my title.
I like how optimistic you're sounding there.
Haven't checked.
Almost certainly lost your title, I would say.
Haven't checked, see how I compared.
Given the pace of that.
I did go up the climb gallop. Initially, without a warm-up, straight from the pub here. So just, that's the time that will appear
that's
on Strava.
That's the only reason I was beaten by the best woman in the world.
I'll caveat it with that.
Yeah. You'll make more excuses as well about gantries being put up then and fences.
Yeah, there was that. I had to stop and chat to people. Fix a puncture.
Oh, yeah.
And, I'd get my media pass out to get through and everything. So time not as fast as it might have been.
Well, you should have seen him. He was properly sweaty. Properly sweaty.
Glad I didn't see, really.
Well, I know. Really sweaty. I mean, regretted it immediately, but yeah.
Really sweaty.
You haven't showered since then, have you?
No, I haven't. No. So looking forward.
Can you lower that arm slightly?
Looking forward to the car journey.
Are you just going to be brewing that smell?
Stewing.
Hours? That's just...
Stewing in my own juices as we hurtle towards Wales. But it was a very it's a beautiful circuit. I enjoyed it. It was nice to get out in between the showers of rain. Nice to get a bit of exercise. Hoping to maybe get another bike ride tomorrow.
The cycling podcast Femina is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you very much indeed to Science and Sport for supporting the Cycling Podcast Femina and for donating the present for tonight's winner, which I'll tell you about Science and Sport tomorrow. Hopefully that's okay. They'll be great. They'll donate a nice, generous bundle of sports science products, and you can get 25% off all your Science and Sport products at scienceandsport.com with the code
SISCP25. I won't do the whole thing. All I want to join in.
Keep
this
going.
This brings out the football fog in you.
Well, we're in a pub. It's all
exactly.
Right.
We're in an appropriate setting.
Next to a little fruit machine. I think it's very appropriate.
Got a pint of Coke on the go. Off we go.
SISCP25. SISCP25. SISCP25.
I should say the pub kindly turned the music off so we could record and navigate this.
And now they're all looking at you like you're absolutely mad.
Recording here, little did they
know. Anyway, thank you, Science and Sport, and in advance for the very kind prize. Now, we were sort of, it was the aftermath of the crash, really, this morning. A miserable morning in Warwick, raining again. And, you know, a long, tough stage and quite a few riders still in a lot of pain. From the crash the previous day. The headline, of course, was Marianne Vos had to abandon the race while in the race lead. She went to hospital. She had stitches on the brow of her nose and in her mouth. And she didn't stay in hospital. She was let out and went back to the team hotel last night. And I saw her father, Henk Vos, at the start this morning and got a little update from him.
I mean, how is Marianne? Was she in hospital overnight?
No. Yesterday they came back to the hotel. They were in plastic surgery on the nose. And yeah, further she's okay.
So no concussion or anything like that? Concussion? She didn't?
No headaches or something. A little wound inside the mouth, and then the nose. But on the legs and... Nothing
broken. Stitches in the nose.
Yeah. From the sunglasses, it was
in. Where is she now?
She's now on the way home.
And is she very disappointed?
Yeah, of course. She's sporting. She was in good shape, and yeah, the possibility of to win this race, he was great, and. Yeah, then she's very disappointed, yeah.
Any idea when she'll be able to get back on her bike?
Yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow when she came home, maybe in the afternoon, if it's not raining, then they go on the bike. Further on, she's okay.
And what about you? Are you staying here or are you going
home
as well?
Yeah, I have a mixed feeling now. I'm staying here and, yeah. Do something for the team, little things, and okay. Yeah, sport.
She'll be back though.
Yeah, we hope so. And
so there we are. She returned home to Holland on Thursday, and when I asked him when she'll be back out on her bike, as you heard, he said normally this afternoon today. So she's probably been back on her bike already. She'll be gutted, I'm sure, because she looked in really good shape and in a really good position to do very well in this race. So a real shame. You spoke to Carmen Small as well, Rose. I think, did you see her in conversation with someone else?
I did, quite a heated discussion with a few members of the organisation. So I thought I'd get my microphone in there and find out what was up with that. I mean, she lost half the team yesterday in the crash.
She's the DS
of Team Virtue. And they lost half their team in the crashes yesterday. I think she wasn't completely happy with, you know, exactly how it was handled, but I think, you know, emotions were high and yeah. So I think she also mentions that Sofia Bertazzolo, she was, you know, trying to gear up for this stage, but actually, unfortunately, Bertazzolo abandoned along with six other people today, which is incredible. With no incidents, people are just really feeling their injuries. But this is what Carmen had to say today.
Carmen, I saw you in a bit of a lively discussion with some of the organisation a bit earlier. Can you tell us some of your concerns that you might have been raising?
Yeah, I think in general, when you have a massive crash like that, there's a lot of chaos and a lot of things going on, and we are all looking out for the better of the rider, and we want just our every rider, because I'm outside the car and I'm seeing, you know, 20 people on the ground, and I'm also helping other riders, not just mine, and everyone's trying to help each other in that instant, and there's a lot of chaos going on. And so I think sometimes that excitement or adrenaline or, you know, craziness is maybe confused with a different emotion. And so, you know, I think we're all trying to do our best for the riders, point. And so there was some confusion with paramedics trying to get everyone moved. And yeah, of course we need to move out of the way, but we also need to collect everything to then move out of the way. So it's not simple. And I think yesterday was really difficult for a lot of teams. And, you know, now we try to fight another day.
And Virtue lost half of your riders. Where do you go from here? Do you have to change your plans completely?
Yeah. I mean, racing with three instead of six is a pretty big difference. And we still have three stages to go. So we need to just look for opportunity and take every day as is. And, you know, really we're down to two. Sophia's in 100%. And we kind of see what happens.
So severe, is she starting today and hoping to get through it and recover?
Yeah, I'm hoping. I think it's a little bit of shock as well with the crashing, and you don't want to see a crash yourself like that. And it's really traumatic mentally, I think, so trying to get over that mentally is always difficult. And just trying to get through the days and recover as much as possible. So bike racing isn't an easy sport, so it takes really tough people to do it.
So that was Carmen Small, DS at Team Virtue Cycling. And, well, we've got a good race in store, I think, now, haven't we? We're heading into Wales tonight. Got quite a long drive, so we should make a move. But I think it's very close between Leanne Lipper and Kasia Nevyedova, and a fascinating battle should ensue between those two riders and their teams.
And behind that as well, I think. I mean, Lizzie Deignan is looking incredibly strong and would maybe get a little bit of extra support along the roads and maybe buoy her in some way. But I think the GC battle is looking very exciting now. And given that we're going into what's been billed the toughest stage of this year's race, thankfully we're not going into it like we did last year, whereby there wasn't much action in the run-up to it. Now, things have been split apart a little bit. Everyone has seen what each other has got. We've had that sort of stalemate standoff. Now we've had a bit of action. And so I think tomorrow will be a brilliant day on the road. I'm really looking forward to it.
One of us is going to go in the Canyon SRAM team car.
Oh, yes.
Perhaps you, Orla, if you fancy it.
I'd be up for that, for sure.
And, well, we should have some interesting stuff from that tomorrow night. But let's get on the road, shall we, and drive 2.5 hours into Wales.
Yeah.
Where is it we're going, folks? Who can pronounce it, please?
Llanrhyndod Wells.
We need Rob
Very
Hatch.
That do. Oh, why do you need Rob Hatch? We've got Orla.
Yeah.
Question is, what are we going to listen to on our playlist along the way?
Shirley Bassey.
Oh, yeah. Okay. A bit of Tom Jones.
Tom Jones.
A bit of, what do you call them? Handbags and Glad Rags. They were Welsh,
weren't they?
Stereophonics. You could do a bit
Manic
of that.
Manic Street Peaches.
Yeah.
Come on, Richard.
We're going to carry on with the podcast we've been listening to, which I don't really want to mention because...
Why not, Olette?
Well,
no?
Yeah, I mean, we can recommend it, but I would say it's for not for a family audience.
No. If you're listening with your kids, wait until you're not with your children.
Yeah.
Dear
Joan and Jerrica, it won Best Comedy at the British Podcast Awards.
Richard was a little bit starstruck. You didn't want to go over and speak to them because you're slightly
nervous about what they would say.
Maybe they were nervous of you.
I think they fantasize over men slightly younger. Sorry.
So we'll listen to a bit more of Dear Joan and Jerrica for adults only.
While you continue to stew in your own juices and we have to endure the odor.
And I think you recommended a podcast as well, Rose, that we were going to listen to.
The Tip-Off, isn't it?
I did. It's called The Tip-Off. It is exceptional. Very different from Joan and Jerrica. Very different. But yeah, that's all about investigative journalism and some of the big stories, how they were found, and really good. Really good listen. So maybe
I'm in the mood for more comedy as well, I think. Maybe we'll find another comedy podcast along the way. Let's have a few laughs, shall we? A few giggles, eh? Eh, team? Eh? Who's up for it?
She's getting out of Larkin Freeb country and she's on a high.
Leaving it behind. Towards an evening of mirth and raucous laughter. Let's do it.
Do you think Daniel will listen to this?
No.
So we're all right. We can say what we like.
Absolutely no chance.
He'll read the tweets, though, if people are then reacting on Twitter.
He certainly will.
And then,
he's
busy.
So don't
tweet him. Just leave him be. Just let him continue his blissful ignorance. Yeah. Let him know he's ever been mentioned.
Nobody listens to this. Please don't alert Daniel to his ubiquity in tonight's podcast. We do have a new nickname for him now, though. I mean, people have been asking about a nickname for Daniel. Philip Larkin.
There we go.
It's quite a long nickname, isn't it?
Larkin. Just call him Larkin.
Larky.
Yeah. Because it sounds jovial, doesn't it? Larky sounds jaunty.
We'll see if that catches on. Anyway, let's get in the car and
before, yeah. Press conference, Richard.
Oh, yes. Press conference. We're going to do a post-women's tour press conference. Please do send us your questions. Well, phone in your questions. Leave a voice memo at the number +447971 338205 +447971 338205 And it's a voice memo on WhatsApp, please, if you can leave a question there, and we'll endeavour to answer it over the next couple of days. Also, please send us your nominations for Peddlers de Charme. That's all for now. Thank you very much, Rose.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you, Orla.
Thank
Daniel.
You both.
You're listening to the cycling podcast Feminine, brought to you by Skoda, dedicated to closing the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.